Thanks, Graham. G'day. Thanks for the one or two who said hello. It's good to be with you. I mean, I've been excited since we've come back into the high school. Just seeing the number of faces I don't know. If I don't know you, welcome. My name's Steve Kovitz. I'm the lead pastor here at church. We're about to look at those verses. It would be good if you had your Bible open. It's quite a dense section of the Bible. And let's see if we can work through it together and you walk away with an understanding of, oh, yeah, those confusing words that were just read out, I get them now. That's where we're headed. We want to understand what God has to say. I'm going to pray and we're going to get started. Father God, we thank you that you're a speaking God, that you made us and you want us to know you, to worship you, to follow you. And so we pray now that as we come to your word, that we would hear you speak, our lives would be changed to walk in the faith that we have received. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who likes orange juice? Yep, got a nice cup of orange juice here. Yeah, it's actually quite good. I like orange juice as well. Who's out there? Who likes spinach? There's some health food out there. Yeah, there's quite a few takers. I like it raw. When it gets cooked, something happens. I don't know what happens to it. The battle of the greens. Any kale lovers out there? Like, oh, man. Yeah. Boy, there's a few of you as well, Jordan. You'd be happy. I've never eaten the stuff, and I intend to go to my grave without doing it. All right. Yeah. What about spicing up your food with a bit of chili? Any chili takers out there? There's a few of you as well. Some garlic. This garlic's been sitting here since morning church. It smells garlicky up the front here at the moment. In the Kovitz house, it's the battle of the sauces. There's those who like tomato sauce and those who like barbecue sauce. Any takers for the barbecue? There's a few of you. I don't like any of them, really. Now, here's what I've done. I've gone and put all those ingredients into the blender. And we're going to give it a bit of a blend. Hopefully, this is all going to work. Oh, I'm glad when the blender works and doesn't splash in my face. That would have been embarrassing, wouldn't it? Now, let's see what we got here. How's that looking? Now, I don't actually know what that is. I've just thrown a bunch of stuff in. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why in a sec, why I'm not going to chug it. But here's what I know. This is not orange juice. Yeah? You'll all agree with me on that, won't you? This is not orange juice. Now, last week, we were in Colossians. We only looked at two verses, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, where we were reminded that we are to walk in the faith we received, but we haven't received any faith. We've received the faith. We've received Christ Jesus the Lord, and we're to dig deep in Jesus. We're to build high in Jesus. We're to walk in Jesus and only Jesus. That was the exhortation from last week. This week, we are hit with a warning. Don't blend Jesus. You see, throughout every age, there are false teachers that roam into churches and try and kidnap Christians. They offer a blended Jesus. They offer synthetic gospels. They add to Jesus. They water Jesus down. They claim that they have a more full spirituality. They have a deeper spirituality. They have a more free spirituality. Lies, lies, lies. In Jesus, we have everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus something equals nothing. Beware the blender. That's where we're headed this afternoon. And so here's how we'll tackle it. First, we're going to look at this warning that God gives us in verse 8. And then after the warning, we're going to look at our fullness in Christ. Then we will look at our fellowship in Christ. And then we'll look at our freedom in Christ. And so warning, fullness, fellowship, freedom. That's where we're headed. Because the best defense against false teachers is an offense. The best defense is to walk in the faith that we have received. We have fullness in Christ. We have fellowship in Christ, and we have freedom in Christ. Now, got your Bible open? Colossians 2, verse 8. Here's the warning. See to it that no one takes you captive. See to it, make sure no one kidnaps you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, you can tell already, can't you, that that's a shift in the letter. We've shifted from the thankfulness that Paul had at the beginning, the prayerfulness for the Colossians, the writing about Jesus and his greatness, and now we're hitting the warning. Beware, watch out for the false teacher. Now, we don't know exactly who the false teachers were back in the day. We don't know exactly what they were teaching. But here's what we can gather. They came across as wise. Their philosophy sounded intelligent. They were sophisticated. They were articulate. They were religious. They could mix with the philosophical elite. They could claim traditional heroes that were religious. So note this. They would not have walked into the church and said, Jesus sucks. We've got the right religion. No, they would have walked in looking and sounding like a Jesus teacher. But they added to Jesus. They affirmed Jesus, but they added to Jesus. And note how Paul did not mince his words. The blended Jesus crew were full of empty deceit. They were full of hot wind. They were full of human tradition. They were full of the elemental spirits of the world. Now, what's that? The commentaries disagree a lot on what that was, but most of them tend to agree around, well, it probably involved the elements, earth, wind, fire, water, sun, moon. You know how some religions worship the elements of the universe? But spirits as well. And so this reminder for us Christians that the devil sits behind all false worship. So the blended Jesus teachers were adding their particular philosophies, their particular traditions, their particular spiritualities to Jesus. And Paul wrote, don't let them take you captive. Don't get sucked in. What they are offering is sewage. This is rubbish. That's why I'm not going to drink it, Kevin. Just to make the point, don't go anywhere near the blended Jesus. They are winsome, they're intelligent, they're popular, but they're full of hot wind, they're full of sewage, they're full of lies. And then have a look at verse 8. Here's what they're not full of. They're not according to Christ. Do you remember verse 6 from last week? Just as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we received Christ Jesus, the Lord. We received the unblended Jesus. Do not let yourself be kidnapped. Beware the blender. That's the warning. And then we come to our first of three safeguards to protect us from the false teachers. It's our fullness in Christ. Have a look at verse 9. Is that right? Yep, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Now, that fullness of deity, what's that? Well, it's all the godness of God. It's all that God is. All that God is in Jesus. And we've already gone over that, haven't we, earlier in Colossians? But it's good to be reminded again, all that God is. God is uncreated, always has been, always will be. That's mind-blowing. God created the universe simply by speaking a few words. That is mind-blowing. Everything God has said, thought, or done is right, perfect, good, holy. Fullness of God, fullness of deity. God is everywhere. The fullness of God, God's all-powerfulness, God everything, all that fullness dwells in Jesus. That's verse 9. And then verse 10 says, if you're a Christian, you are filled in Christ. So why would we even think about drinking a blended Jesus? Whatever the blended Jesus false teachers are offering, it will always be trash, it'll always be sewage, it'll always be rubbish, no matter how dressed up they make it, no matter how much fullness they offer. We have Christ, and we are filled in Him. And so whatever they're offering, the blended Jesus will always stink of sulfur. Remember, beware the blender. You have your fullness in Christ. And now to our fellowship in Christ. Have a look at verse 11. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who are dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Did you see all the in Hims and with Hims in that? I've circled them in my Bible. Last week I told us how the New Testament is full of dozens and dozens of verses of in Him, with Him, in Jesus, in whom. Our fellowship in Christ is a major teaching of the New Testament. Do you remember that wonderful quote from Charles Spurgeon we looked at last week? There is no joy in this world like union with Christ. The more we can feel it, the happier we are. Our fellowship in Christ is everything. And the particular aspects of fellowship in Christ that this passage looks at are three. Circumcision, buried, and raised. Circumcised in Christ, buried in Christ, and raised in Christ. I reckon the most difficult one for us to understand is circumcision, yeah? So I've got a few slides. No, we're not going to do that, are we? All right, what's going on? Although that does remind me. See that phone number? If you've got questions for after the sermon, we have a Q&A. You can text in your questions. Now, circumcision actually is a cutting off of flesh, of skin from a particular part of the male anatomy. And it's that cutting off of flesh that is being brought out in these verses here. You see, when the Bible talks about our sinfulness, our propensity to sin, our sinful nature, it often calls that sinful nature our flesh. Now, whatever you do, don't make the mistake that some do and think that God is saying that our body, this thing that we touch and the thing that doctors can cut up, is bad. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible is calling our sinful nature flesh, and it's saying that is bad. And then this verse is saying, if you are in Christ, when Jesus died on the cross, your sinful nature was circumcised. It was cut off. Your sinful nature has now been buried in Christ. And in Christ, you have now been raised. You are finally alive. Our fellowship in Christ is everything. But if sin is not a big deal to you, then this fellowship in Christ won't be a big deal to you either. But once we realize that we are all destined to die and face our Maker and be judged for how we lived in His world, all of a sudden, our sin becomes a really big deal. Now, if you're here and still checking out Christianity, we're glad that you're here. Here's what I am not saying. I am not saying you are a dirty, rotten sinner and I am a good person. Now, here's what I'm saying. Here's what the Bible's saying, more importantly. We have all been made by God for God. This is His world that we live in. This is His air that we're breathing. And none of us live in this world, His world, none of us breathe His air and love Him and worship Him in the way that He deserves. We all have a sinful nature. And we are all destined one day to die and face our Maker and give an account for our sin. Unless we are in Christ. See, when we're in Christ, our sinful nature has been circumcised. It has been buried, and we are now raised. And then verses 14 and 15 go on and tell us why this is really, really, really good news. Verse 14, the end of verse 13 says, we've been forgiven of all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This God set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Now, to get that image, we actually need to think about living 2,000 years ago. And so let's picture us as a community living together 2,000 years ago, and there was another clan up the road that wanted to go to war with us. Now, when clans went to war 2,000 years ago, the one that won would storm into the losing city afterwards and plunder everything. Women, children, possessions, everything. And so picture, it's your clan going off to war. Maybe you're a woman, maybe you're a child, maybe you're an elderly man. You weren't able to lift a sword, you weren't able to go off to battle. And you're sitting here wondering what is going to be the result. And then it's your king who comes marching in and your soldiers who come marching in. And here's what happened 2,000 years ago. When you won, your army then paraded the losers behind, naked and chained and humiliated and triumphed over. And as you see that you're free and you don't have to worry, everyone's running around, good news. We won. Good news. And it's that image that is sitting behind verses 14 and 15. At the cross, our record of debt was nailed. So on the cross, Jesus took on all of our sin and our record of debt that our sin deserves. Let me just get this opened here. And here's another reason why I'm hanging to get our own property, so we can actually have a big old wooden cross up here. Because Jesus is on the cross, taken our sin, our record of debt, and nailed it. He has done away with, He has conquered, He has defeated our sin. He has defeated our death that our sin deserves. And He has defeated the shame that our sin brings. He's dealt with it all. It's all vanquished behind Him. And here I just want to speak to my brothers and sisters, Christians, because some of us really do struggle with past sin and the shame that it brings. And Satan knows that. He loves to play around with our past sin and make us feel shameful. He knows how to play us like a fiddle. You need verse 15. Your King, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has nailed your record of debt to the cross, and it is gone, dealt with, defeated, conquered, vanquished. Brothers and sisters, we have fellowship in Christ's death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Our sin, our death, our punishment that our sin deserves, our shame, Satan himself have all been defeated, conquered, vanquished, humiliated by our mighty, mighty King. And of course, we all just sit there and go, oh yeah, this is good news. This is the gospel, and it's fantastic. Therefore, let no one kidnap you with a blended Jesus. And here's where we now turn to our final point, which is our freedom in Christ. Have a look at verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. And so these blended Jesus teachers would come in and judge the Colossian Christians. Oh, you don't eat food the way that we eat food. You don't follow our festivals. Oh, you don't follow our Sabbaths. These things that they're offering up are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance, you have the substance. It belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you. Jump back to Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. In Jesus, you have been qualified for the inheritance of the kingdom. And so don't listen to these blended Jesus folk. They'll disqualify you from the kingdom. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism. Oh, you've got to climb that mountain to pray more holy. Oh, you need to give up those foods and that's that to be more holy like us. Don't listen to them. The worship of angels. We're not sure whether that means worshiping angels or these blended Jesus false teachers were saying, hey, we know how the angels worship, and so let's teach you how to really worship. Going on in detail about visions, you don't need their visions. You've got Christ. Puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments grows with a growth that is from God. These guys are offering up this sewage, this rubbish, as if it's some sort of superfood. It will kill you. You just need Christ and he will build you right down to your very ligaments and bones and marrow. Remain in Christ. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings? No. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If you want to put to death your old sinful nature, Christ and Christ alone. I can hear the desperate, pleading, but confident heart of Paul in those words. Colossians, you already have fullness in Christ. You already have fellowship in Christ. Therefore, don't give up your freedom in Christ by drinking from this blended Jesus. Don't let anyone enslave you with rules or how to worship like an angel or with visions or with traditions. Christ and Christ alone. Now, Colossians was written in the middle of the first century, around 60 AD. That's a little while ago, yeah? I wasn't alive then, were you? 60 AD. Isn't it sobering to realize that false teachers have been around since the beginning of the Christian church. There's two broad ways false teachers try and kidnap churches: legalism and liberalism. Legalism is adding to the gospel. You need to follow these rules. You need to listen to and read these gurus. And liberalism is watering down the gospel. Oh, yeah. Back when Paul and Peter and James were around, their way of understanding God was like this, but we now know a little bit more, and so we need to water down that bit of the Bible with our new enlightenment. Brothers and sisters, there are always wolves in sheep's clothing parading around churches. Now, I'm not saying, in what I'm about to say, stay off the internet. Thank God we can get on and read Christian blogs and teaching and listen to preachers from all around the world. But be discerning. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. They look and sound like a Jesus teacher, but they've got a blended Jesus and they offer up rubbish. That's why our urgent job as a church is always twofold. One of our urgent jobs is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. There are over 80,000 people in the Hastings. There is just under 8 billion people in the world, most of whom do not follow Jesus as Lord and Saviour. One of our urgent jobs is to take the gospel of Jesus into the world. Get a hold of a couple of those take a shot cards and be asking your friends and get into some conversations about Jesus. Our other urgent job is to grow Christians. Now, do you remember Colossians 1:28 we looked at a couple of weeks ago? We have this same desire as the Apostle Paul to see everyone firmly established and mature in Christ. We toil, we struggle, we labor with all of God's energy to grow Christians. Because there are kidnappers and enslavers waiting to drag Christians away. There are the legalists trying to blend in rules. There are the traditionalists trying to blend in traditions. There are the smooth-talking liberals trying to water down Jesus. And there's so much, as I think about this, that I want to warn us about. But I'm going to narrow my warning in to one group. They like to call themselves, and the movement, they call themselves progressive Christianity, which is a shame. It's unfortunate. It's wrong. Because they're offering up a blended Jesus, which is not Christianity. Their teaching really is, as I read over it, just 20th century liberalism, although they don't like to say that. They like to say they've progressed and they want to take us all with them. But they're just the liberals from 100 years ago. They use kale now instead of spinach like they used to use back in the day. Here's what a progressive Christian does. It waters down the faith that we have received. Oh, yes. 2,000 years ago, that's the way God people thought about how we should interact with each other and with the world. But we've now progressed. We're more enlightened. And we can water down that part of the Bible because we understand a little bit more. And in particular, where we see it is around lining up with Western cultural views on things like human sexuality, on things like bioethics, abortion, euthanasia, on things like the family value. And as society has moved further away from a traditional way of living out sexuality and bioethics and family, well, these progressive Christians are bringing it into the church as well. Beware of a blended Jesus. For instance, they love to use John chapter 8, where a bunch of religious zealots brought before Jesus an adulterous woman. And they dump her before Jesus and they said, "Jesus, you know how in the Old Testament God said an adulterer should be stoned? What are you going to do, Jesus?" And Jesus famously replied, "Let the one who has no sin cast the first stone. Now, the religious zealots all walked away bummed, which says something terrible about them, doesn't it? Today, the progressive Christian loves to grab that writing and say, in the same way that Jesus embraced this adulterous woman, so you and I now need to embrace the world's views on sexuality and bioethics and what God has to say about the family. What they conveniently water down, conveniently leave off, is that yes, as Jesus embraced that adulterous woman, Jesus also said, now sin no more. There's a progressive Christianity that just wants to focus on Jesus saying, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are. To which you and I say, absolutely, yes. Because Jesus and Jesus alone can save. And so that's the danger of false teaching. It sounds almost Jesus. But here's what Jesus never says. And stay as you are. Jesus calls his people to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Jesus expects us to grow and to mature. Now, all of that growing and maturing is in Christ. He doesn't say, now go do it off on your own. There's still grace and mercy for the Christian walk, absolutely. But just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him. Don't blend your faith. Don't get kidnapped. Don't become enslaved. Remember what you received. Fullness in Christ. Fellowship in Christ. Freedom in Christ and Christ alone. I'm going to pray and Isaac's going to tell me if we have any questions. Yeah? Isaac or Beth? I don't know. One of you. Yeah. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your good news. We have everything in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would help us continue to receive him and walk in him and never blend anything in. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you for your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.